This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today is
Frida Liu
and Christine Wong.
Yes, it's all the ladies in the house today. And what are we talking about? Well, everyone is talking about Dato' Sri Najib Razak's interview with Al Jazeera over the weekend. While some Malaysians are over it and they've heard enough of it, what we are asking you today is, was it a good PR move to actually take this interview? Was the timing right? Should he have done this interview because he knows it's going to be channeled to an international audience? So was it the right medium? What do you think?
Right. So referring back to that article, you know, the three questions they asked if you were to do a media interview in the case of a crisis, and it's pretty much of a crisis, does it extend reached beyond, you know, your current forms of platforms? Does it demonstrate values? And does it shrink negativity? So the question is, did it pass any of these three by agreeing to do this? I just want to refer to a WhatsApp comment from Jessica. You know, he should have known she's going to ask very tough questions as a big guy. He should know how to keep cool. And if he can't, don't consent to have the interview. So, and he was referring to how BBC Hard Talk asked even tougher questions. And none of the interviews have behaved like that. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, if you have any thoughts for us, get in touch with us via Twitter at BFM Radio, also on Insta Story. And you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Christine, we have more tweets, right?
We got a tweet here from either Eljo or Ijo. I actually can't tell because of the font. But anyways, they say, no, but he's getting more and more desperate. He knew what the Saudi minister would say 100%. The timing is not a coincidence, just that he's out of practice not dealing with real journalists. But saying that he has so much baggage, so probably not a good idea.
You see, that's a good point, you know. He's just out of practice not dealing with real journalists. What does that say? Maybe he's used to a media that's compliant?
More favorable to him.
So, but he knows that he needs to be prepared for the hard questions when he's going on television or, you know, when dealing with international media, not just Malaysian media, because I can tell you that Malaysian media today also ask hard questions.
Right.
So, you know, this is not something unexpected.
Okay, just another comment from PK75. He said, what do you expect she was going to ask him? His legacy in economy? The same reporter that he deported. Surely she's not interested to find out the state of the country's economy from him. Knowingly, he fell into lion's den. At the moment, his legacy is only two, 1MDB and Jolo. Until he clears this and all his charges in court, he should just refrain from interviews.
Alright, okay, well, you know, keep the feedback coming in, 018-789-8899 if you want to send us a text via WhatsApp, or you can also tweet us and get in touch with us on Insta Story at BFM Radio. Let's move on to our third story. How much should we be paying for driverless taxis? That is a question that I've not asked myself.
Actually. Yeah, so this comes from, basically the question itself kind of came from me, but the article that I'm referring to is on TechCrunch, and it's all about Waymo. So Waymo is, of course, the self-driving startup, which is a Google spinoff owned by parent company Alphabet. And they've started to test pricing models for rides in their autonomous vehicles in Phoenix, Arizona. The latest indication that the company is preparing to launch a commercial robo-taxi service. They haven't yet actually launched it, but it's kind of getting closer. And they released kind of a testing for their pricing models with their early rider program, which is designed to give a vetted group of real people the ability to use an app to hail a self-driving vehicle. This program had 400 participants. The last time Waymo shared their figures on the program, and they declined to elaborate on how much it had grown. But what they did say was, as part of our early rider program, we have recently begun testing pricing models within our app. Pricing is currently experimental and intended solely to solicit feedback from early riders and does not reflect the various pricing models under consideration for a public service. But it does beg the question, because we talk a lot about autonomous vehicles here on BizBytes. We talk a lot about it on Tech Talk and Geek Squawk and everything with Matt Armitage. But we don't really think about the fact that taxis are still a service, and there would still have to be some form of payment to either the company or something for maintenance, servicing, one assumes, unless the taxis can like heal themselves or something, but I don't know. So, you know, I guess my question is, how much would we pay in theory for a driverless taxi?
So just let's just ask ourselves this question. When we pay for a cab fare, what do we think we're paying for?
Right.
Are we paying the driver? Are we paying for fuel? Are we paying for... Of course, we're paying for the service in its entirety. But, you know, what exactly are we paying for? And then you've got to look at this model and see what's removed and what's new.
Right.
And then I guess we can kind of, like, gauge, right?
You're paying for the technology.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. So... It should be. Do you think it'd be more expensive?
Or? The thing is that I'm kind of two minds about this because for me, you know, I use ride-hailing apps on a daily basis. So when I pay that money, I think, okay, partially it's going to go to the company so that they can maintain, you know, their kind of structure and being able to kind of organize all the drivers and stuff. But also partially it's going to go to the driver to support them and their families and whatnot, right? But then when it comes to driverless taxis, you know, the driver aspect of that is completely gone. Mm. So in my head, I would be paying for, let's say, the maintenance aspect of the cars themselves to the company directly. So there's no middleman here.
Yeah.
I am paying directly to this company that's created the driverless taxis.
So it should be slightly cheaper, but then again, you got to take into account, like Frida said, the technology.
Exactly. And it will take time, right? Before they get the ROI on it, before costs will go down, because when it's if it's new technology, there will be initial costs before it becomes mainstream. You know?
Also, you have to pay for the novelty of the whole idea initially, right? Getting in a cab without a driver, you know, how cool
you know,
will
in the
be.
Office, it'll be Uma first.
But the idea of kind of the novelty and also the kind of premium aspect of like, wow, I'm in a driverless taxi. I'm sure it would be more expensive to start off with. But it's an interesting question to think about because we've never really thought about the fact that if public transportation does become kind of driverless, you know, or autonomous, you know, how does that shape our pricing models at all, you know? You think about stuff like we do kind of have relatively driverless trains and things like that, for example. I think Japan's bullet train has like a driver, but it's very a lot of it is kind of automated and along a certain route, and you still pay a certain amount, but it's generally cheaper. So it's an interesting question to think about, really.
Yes, that is an interesting question. And we are also asking you another big question. Najib's interview with Al Jazeera, was that the right PR move? Should he have taken the interview in the first place from a public relations perspective? Was it a good idea? Tell us what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, or you can tweet us or get in touch with us via InstaStory. We have a whole bunch of messages on InstaStory. We'll get to that right after this break. Here's a little Nirvana with Heart-Shaped Box. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.